In our Sunday school this morning, we talked about the propriety of those who have received the gift of the Spirit for preaching and teaching to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Our sermon title this morning is The Reality of Faith. Our text is the explanation of Paul to the Corinthian church concerning the gospel and resurrection. Our text is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 11. Now, they were read in your hearing once, but let us hear them again. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, so you believed. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Those who come to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In the Proverbs, we read a very famous passage in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Now, that text goes on to say, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Hallelujah. In our text today, Paul is changing his subject from the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and in particular, the abuse of tongues in the Corinthian church. And he is changing his subject to the gospel and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this 15th chapter of Corinthians is the most definitive chapter in the Bible for the resurrection not only of Christ, but of believers also. We are all going to be raised up. We are not going to remain in the dust forever. Now, Almighty God has promised a blessing to those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's so wonderful, we can't even imagine it. You can't even think it. In your wildest dreams, you can't even come close. In fact, Paul was taken up to the third heaven and saw things there that he wasn't allowed to speak about. And in order that he not forget that he was not supposed to speak about them, God gave him a thorn in the flesh. Now, we will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and we shall all be changed. Now, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And this is one of the great blessings of exercising faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of the major philosophical tenets in the world is show me. This is one of the major presuppositions and physical and philosophical tenets of the world. That is, you show me and I'll believe. Well, seeing in the world is believing. In the Bible, believing is seeing. Just the opposite. Now, there are many things that we cannot see, and yet we believe. And those people who profess that seeing is believing would have no problem with any of these things. We cannot see, for example, love. We can't see fear. We see the result of love, we see the result of fear, but fear and love we cannot see. We can't see sorrow. We can't see joy. We cannot see respect. We cannot see justice, morality, or ethics. We can't see these things. But those people who have adapted the philosophy of show me would have no problem with these concepts. So their thinking isn't really altogether right. Now, God says in His holy word, believing is seeing. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hallelujah. This text alone completely throws out the idea of evolution. God called everything into existence by a word of His power. It was not that it existed before. It came into existence when He called it into existence. Hallelujah. I want to take you back to Romans chapter 4. And I want to share with you a few verses from this chapter. Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, says this. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but debt. Verse 5 says, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. And he goes on to use David and Abraham as examples. And if you drop down to verse 13 in Romans chapter 4 says, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham nor his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I want you to back up again in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, and I want to share with you a few verses from the first chapter of this glorious Gospel account. John chapter 1, Beginning at verse 9, this is what it says. That was the true light which gives light to every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. We must believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those of us who come to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light that lightens every man that comes into the world, and those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ are rejecting the light, and they walk in darkness. And what's going to happen to those who walk in darkness? They're going to stumble and fall. Paul teaches us in this glorious chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, if Christ be not raised from the dead, we are still in our sins. Our faith is vain, we have no hope, and all who have died believing are eternally lost. But hallelujah, Christ did rise from the dead. And we don't have to, as they would say in the street, sweat it. Because he did arise from the dead. Now, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Christ died for your sins and my sins according to the scriptures. He rose again according to the scriptures. And this is the message preached by the apostles. We go back to our text. Paul says here, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, and in which you stand. The problem in the world today is that the world, by and large, has rejected the gospel, and they don't have any truth in which to stand. This epistle reflects in large part the gospel that Paul preached in Corinth. Now, if we back up the Corinthian letter to the second chapter, we see something very interesting about what Paul says he did when he was at Corinth. And I, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was the gospel that Paul preached, the good news. He says, this gospel, which alone one may, through which one alone one may be saved from sin, self, and Satan. We need to be saved, first of all, from our sinfulness. We are all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, if you don't believe that you're a sinner, just look at some of the things you do. If you don't believe that this world is sinful, pick up the newspaper. Not necessarily today, but any day during the week, pick up the newspaper. Paul's testimony was that he determined not to know anything among these Corinthians except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we need to be saved from sin, self, and Satan. Now, the sinful natures that we have make us what we are. And then Satan comes along and enhances it. So we need to be saved from sin, self, and Satan. The first part of the good news is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. What scripture? Well, Isaiah 53 speaks to this matter. He was wounded for our transgressions. The iniquity of us were put on him when he was on the cross. Isaiah 53 is a mighty powerful scripture, and I'm going to take you back there, and we're going to look at it just a little bit, not the whole thing, but we're going to look at a little bit of it this morning. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? We have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who has believed our report is the question that Isaiah raises. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Jesus Christ. This is the Old Testament, Isaiah 53. The Jews have a terrible time with this chapter. Terrible time with it. And if you have an opportunity to witness to a Jew, this is one of the places that you want to take them, because they believe that Isaiah was a prophet of God. And if Isaiah was a prophet, he was speaking the truth. This text goes on to say, surely he has borne our grief. Sin is a grief. It's a grief to everyone, because man cannot make himself right with God. Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for what? For our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. This is also found in Daniel chapter 9, and again in Psalm 22. So when Paul says, according to the scriptures, he's thinking and talking about the Old Testament scriptures. The first part of the good news is that Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again according to the scriptures. According to what scriptures? Well, if you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see that they testify that Jesus Christ got up. He was killed on the cross. He was buried, and he stayed in the grave 3 days, but he got up again. Hallelujah. Now, not only does the Old Testament testify to the resurrection of Christ, or that it would take place, the evidence from the New Testament account is overwhelming. In our text today, Paul presents irrefutable evidence for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary and Martha and that company that prepared the spices and so forth for his burial went to the grave early on Sunday morning, the first day of the week. The stone was rolled back. There wasn't nobody in the grave. The angels told them to go tell Peter, James, John, and the apostles that he had risen from the dead. They went and told him. Paul says here, he was seen of Cephas, then by the 12. This is recorded in Mark 16, verse 14. He was seen by them. In fact, Jesus upbraided them for their unbelief when he saw them. Paul says he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. The greater part of them were still alive at the writing of this letter. This letter was written probably in A.D. 56 in that area. He says also he was seen by James, then by the apostles again. especially as it is recorded by John in chapter 20. When Thomas, doubting Thomas, said, "I won't believe unless I see him and put my hands in the wound in his hand and put my hand in his side. I won't believe." Jesus appeared to them when Thomas was there. He said, "Come here, Thomas. Now put your hand in the wound in my hand. Put your hand in the wound in my side." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Thomas, because you have seen, you believe. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe." Hallelujah. Paul says here also that he saw the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was going to Damascus to arrest anyone who believed in this name. And Jesus struck him down. And Paul said, when Jesus struck him down, Jesus said, "Paul, why are you kicking against me? Why are you kicking against the pricks? It's hard for you to back up against the goad, and that's what you're doing. Who are you, Lord?" "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Lord, what would you have me to do?" "You go into Damascus, and it'll be shown you what to do." So Paul is testifying here to the Corinthian church that he saw the risen Lord Jesus. What are you going to do with all of this evidence? You got to do something with it. Either it's true or it's not true. But it's overwhelming here. He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, by over 500 brethren at one time, by James and the apostle, and Thomas confessed him as being the risen Lord Jesus, "My Lord and my God." And Paul said, "I saw him." Hallelujah. As one being born out of due time. This probably means that Paul was a premature baby. But he was born out of due time. He persecuted the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul didn't consider himself worthy to be an apostle because he persecuted the church. And I believe that his persecution of the church was a thorn in his side. All during his ministry, he remembers this and he repeats it a number of times that he persecuted the church. But the Lord Jesus was merciful unto him. And beloved, we are persecutors of the Lord Jesus Christ until we come to faith in him. We don't believe. We find all kinds of excuses to do things that we want to do instead of what God would have us do. We are persecutors of the church. But Paul says, the grace of God has made him what he is. And when we look carefully at the New Testament, we see that the apostles preached the resurrection. It was the resurrection that got them in trouble. They preached Jesus Christ, whom you Jews crucified. You crucified him. There was no guilt in him, but it was God's plan that you do it. You did it. He was buried, and he got up again. They preached the resurrection. The Sadducees denied the resurrection. They thought that there was no resurrection. In fact, when Jesus was in his earthly ministry, the Sadducees came to him and said, "Now, Lord, we've got a question for you. Master, we've got a question for you. The law of Moses said that if a man marries a woman and have no issue or no child, the brother should take her and raise up seed to his brother. Now, there was a woman who married a man, and he died. She didn't have any children. Her brother took her. And even seven brethren had this woman. Now we got you. In heaven, whose wife is she?" Jesus said, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. For in heaven they are like the angels. They neither marry nor are given in marriage." How about that? You thought you had me, but I have you. Jesus had the answer for them. When Jesus went to the town of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, And Martha came to meet him. She said, "Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother shall rise again." She said, "I know that he's going to rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Hallelujah. I am the resurrection and the life. Good news. Good news. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. You believe that? John 11, 25 and 26, I want to take you back to. The Gospel according to John, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Now, I'm reading this to you from the Word of God on purpose. This is one of the most pressing questions in all of the Bible. Do you believe it? If you do not believe it, there is no salvation for you. If you believe it, you shall never die. The resurrection is the apex of the gospel. It is the high point of the gospel. To the unbeliever, this is the most odious concept that there is, because it signals judgment. If there is a resurrection, there is a judgment. And the unbeliever does everything he can do to get this out of his mind, out of his thought processes, out of his whole psyche. He don't want to have anything to do with this, because he knows that if there is a resurrection, there is also a judgment. He's going to have to stand before Almighty God. When Paul preached on Mars Hill, the Athenians mocked. Some of them mocked. "What is this new doctrine that he's talking about, the resurrection?" They were Epicureans and Stoics. They didn't believe. They didn't believe a thing. In fact, they had a statue to the unknown God. Paul said, "Now this is the one I want to talk to you about. The one you don't know anything about. The one who is going to judge you when you die." Jesus Christ died, was buried, and he rose again on the third day. And Paul gives strong evidence for this. He says here in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians in verse 3, "I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas and of the 12. He was seen of James and the apostles. He was seen of over 500 brethren at one time, and Paul said, "Last of all, I saw him as one born out of due time." Do you believe the gospel? Is your faith a reality? Or are you playing with God? If you believe the gospel, your life should reflect it. Your worship should reflect it. Your very being should reflect your belief in the gospel. You are going to be raised up. You're not going to stay in the dust forever. And having, as we was mentioned in our Sunday school this morning, having your body cremated and your ashes thrown out to sea don't mean a thing. Because if God called everything into existence by a word of his power, then no problem for God getting those ashes back together again. How will you fare in the judgment? When God says to you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" What are you going to say? Well, this is what you should say. I trusted the blood of Jesus for the redemption of my soul. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank you that the Bible teaches us the reality of faith, that without faith it is impossible to please you. So, Lord, as the man in the gospel who was asking the Lord Jesus to raise up his daughter said, Lord, I believe. Help thou now mine unbelief. Help our unbelief, Lord. Help us to put our complete faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of all mankind, the light of the world, the Redeemer, the one who changes us from sinners into saints. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.